We will work on supplying those products into the U.S. and the Brazilian market. The Brazilian solar market is the second largest solar market in the world behind China. And obviously, energy storage is a global phenomenon, but solar in particular tends to be regional based on the variety of regional tariffs and structures that these countries have versus Chinese product coming into those markets. So in Brazil, they have tariff against imported modules. So that insulates the domestic market, but it's a huge domestic market, and we will be the only solar glass.
Brian Leaners, Home Run Resources. Good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm well, Andy. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. So you have a very interesting company and interesting project here. I want to give a 30,000-foot view to all of our end users and viewers that are not familiar with you. Tell me, for their sake, what kind of company you are and what are you trying to do?
We're quite rare, actually. We're a vertically integrated materials company in the energy transition. And I know that probably is as high as 30,000 feet. What we're specifically focused on is we have the materials that we use in our business. We have those in Brazil. We're focused currently on the Brazilian energy transition, which from our perspective is solar and battery. So we utilize our silica resources in Brazil. We're in the feasibility stage of a solar glass plant, and that will lead also into the relationship that we have with the U.S. Department of Energy through their NREL division in Colorado. We're working on an energy storage system that uses silica, and that energy storage system is called the Enduring Thermal Particle Energy Storage System, and that's the sort of third leg under the table. So the silica, solar glass, energy storage,
Okay,
all
so
silica.
I'm taking notes here, so I want to make sure I get this correct, and please interrupt me if I don't. You're looking to go to supply the Brazilian market, is that correct first? And then you have an agreement or arrangements with the US government in Colorado?
Yeah, we will work on supplying those products into the U.S. and the Brazilian market. The Brazilian solar market is the second largest solar market in the world behind China. And obviously, energy storage is a global phenomenon, but solar in particular tends to be regional based on the variety of regional tariffs and structures that these countries have versus Chinese product coming into those markets. So in Brazil, they have tariff against imported modules. So that insulates the domestic market, but it's a huge domestic market, and we will be the only solar glass provider in that marketplace.
Okay, so I'm glad that you said that. I had no idea, absolutely no idea. And so now it makes sense. This is really not only a solar battery play, but this is a Brazilian play, Latin American play. If you want exposure to Latin America, to Brazil, this is something that investors should look at, correct?
Correct. Yeah. And it's novel exposure in the sense that it's not traditional. Brazil over the last 20 years has really diverted its industrial focus into raw materials feeding China. And now the government wants to get back into the industrial side of the business. And the only way they can do that really and progressively and with a competitive advantage versus China industry is to focus on the energy transition because they have all of those materials in plentiful supply and they've got a huge economy. They're 200 million people. So it's one of the largest countries in the world. And on top of that, they have one of the best solar resources in the world. And that's a hard thing to find on the planet, but they're right up there with Australia, southwestern United States, and northwestern Mexico, Sahara, et cetera, et cetera. So the northeastern part of Brazil represents one of the best solar resources in the world.
Right.
That makes hold on, Steve. That makes an incredible lot of sense because when I started doing my own due diligence, I was a little confused and talking to my listeners and viewers here. I was confused about Canadian company solar. I was like, how does this work? But that is the case, but it's not the case. There's solar in Brazil.
Yeah, exactly. We're a Canadian holding company over Brazilian assets. But again, we also have the energy storage relationship with the U.S. Department of Energy. And that storage system uses silica as well. So silica goes into the solar glass, silica goes into the energy storage system. Hence why we're focused in Brazil, because that resource that we have in Brazil is one of the highest purity silica resources in the world.
Okay, so I want to push on that a little bit and learn more about that. But Steve, you had a question, go for it.
Yeah, Brian, can you talk about the energy transition for our listeners? What does that mean? What's going on?
Effectively, the energy transition is everything moving to electricity versus other forms of energy. So historically, there's been a variety of forms of energy, but most of it's been based on burning things. Since we came out of the cave, we still burn things in our car and to heat our houses and to cook our food. But effectively, what's happening is both from the perspective of climate change, but also from the perspective of cost. Solar is now the cheapest form of energy on the planet. If you install it in locations that have good solar resource, nothing can compete with it. So from that perspective, that's where we're headed. That's electrification at a high level. Why are we electrifying everything? That's EVs, that's AI data centers, that is your house getting rid of the gas range and putting in an electrical range because gas ranges are not good for your health, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this electrification requires a transition to alternative energy. And that generally speaking is hydro, nuclear, wind, and solar. And we're focused on solar, but we're focused across all of those with energy storage because every energy source requires storage in order to feed the grid at the exact right time relative to when the demand is there versus the supply. So if you're not storing the energy, a lot of that energy with alternative energy is wasted. It's difficult to turn a nuclear reactor off once you've turned it on. You don't want to turn windmills down once they're on. And solar energy, when it's not needed on the grid, basically burns into the ground. So battery is the natural complement to alternative energy technologies. That all in one big basket is the energy transition.
Got it. Brian, you were pushing on your materials about, if you could go back about 5 minutes, tell me about what you guys have and why are they rated. And I want to use the right words, please forgive me, why they are as high quality, if you would. And also push on, I want to pull out a little bit, that's a strategic relationship you have with the U.S. government. I'd like to work that out a little bit more.
Yeah, in the silica world, silica is actually the most used commodity in the world next to water. So an obvious area of focus for us, but there's lots of silica and it ranges from $0 per ton, your neighbor giving you some sand, all the way up to several $1,000s per ton when you're using it in really high-end purposes like building crucibles for the silicon industry in China and elsewhere, and also with high-end optics, United States, Taiwan, those types of places, and also in technology, semiconductors, extremely important. In solar, it's both the silicon in the solar and it's the solar glass in the solar. So if you have removed silica as a raw material from solar, you're left with a bit of metal that literally would have no function except maybe as a placeholder. So from that perspective, silica is extremely important. It's also important in battery technologies. In current battery chemistry, it's part of the actual battery, silica, like most things. But it's also starting to move in the anode side of the battery as silicon. So graphite and silicon are starting to be the sort of two standard go-to and hybrids thereof in chemistry battery, lithium ion type batteries. The relationship that we have with the U.S. Department of Energy is utilizing our silica, which is very high purity. And what that means, Andy, is it means there's a really low level of impurity. So unlike gold, where you find it in small amounts in large areas of rock. So for instance, you may get 1, 2, 3, 4 grams per ton. With silica, you're throwing out the 1, 2, 3, 4 grams per ton, and you're moving 100% of the product. So our product was processed by Mother Nature, and it has really, really low impurity. So that's what I mean by super high quality. We still have to process it to get it to the really high end of the market, but we have a head start. For solar glass though, we can take our product, wash it, and put it right into a solar glass furnace. There's very few silica deposits in the world that can do that.
Got it. Okay. So, Steve, feel free to interrupt me and jump in if you have a question. But my next question is, this is me talking here. What is the demand right now for your quality product? You said it's very high demand, it seems like, in Brazil. But yeah, work that out relative to everybody else. And why should I be buying really shares in your company?
Great question. The top of the market, which we're shooting for, is 3 to 5 million tons a year. The total silica market annualized is 20 to 30 billion tons. That's why it's the most used product on the planet next to water. But we're focused on the top of that pyramid. At the top of that pyramid, there's really three companies. One is Mitsubishi, which uses its product in a vertically integrated business. We all know that company.
A Japanese Mitsubishi?
Correct. The other is Sibelco, which is a European company, but presence all over the planet. And the other is Quartz Inc. Both Sibelco and Quartz Inc. are shared owners of an incredible asset that sits in the Carolinas called Spruce Pines. Got some news when the hurricane moved through that area and they had to shut down the plant. And everyone was talking about how this one little deposit in the Carolinas was actually the center of attention for the technology world as far as inputs go. That's what we will be competing with. The difference for us is we have 1 to 2 steps of processing to get to the quality that they get to after 5 or 6 steps of processing.
Fair
and that's because, right, ours is a silica sand product. So Mother Nature has already done a lot of the processing for us. Theirs is a hard rock silica a product that has to be mined, separated, they have to grind it, and then they have to take it and do the purification that we do. But they have a bunch of steps before they get to the high-end purification. That's the market we'll go after for the silica product. But within our vertical integration, the energy storage and the solar glass, we'll be using our own silica for our own business model. So more like Mitsubishi, they're using their silica for their consumer products and all of their glass products, the high-end glass. We would be doing the same thing, but with a solar glass functionality and a thermal energy storage functionality using the silica.
Okay, one more question, Steve, and then you can ask if you don't mind questions about the share structure. My question really is you're more efficient in your processing. I want to make sure I've heard that correctly. With 2 steps, that means your margins are going to be significantly better. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Second. Oh, great. That's what I wanted to know. My second question, is it sounds like in the U.S. you want to control more of the supply chain.
Yeah, to a large degree. A vertically integrated materials company is all about controlling the supply chain. And there's a couple of reasons behind that. One is that the Chinese are dominant in this area, generally speaking. You know, I don't know if people know this, but 90 to 95% of the solar industry is China. And it's gone through a real price fight over the last 2 years as China overbuilt their capacity and has been dumping solar modules on the rest of the world for the last 2 years to burn off their inventory. That process is coming to an end, but it's positioned China as the cost leader on the planet. And nobody can make polysilicon the basis of silicon solar. Nobody can make polysilicon cheaper than China. Where we can compete with China is on solar glass. Because ironically, if you look at the price curve of solar, which is on a CapEx per kilowatt hour is the basis. So you started like $1 a decade ago at CapEx per kilowatt hour. And now we're down to 8 cents. So there's been a huge price shift in that, and that's all because of the Chinese. But what's interesting is solar glass through that entire decade has sold at $700 to $800 a ton. It doesn't move. And the reason why is because it's really easy to make glass, generally speaking, but it's really expensive to move it once it's made. So moving silicon from China to the United States or the EU or anywhere else is relatively cheap. Moving glass takes the cost of goods sold, which is roughly $10 per 20 kilograms of glass, and bumps that up in Brazil up to $20 to $25, in the US, $30 to $40, and in Europe, $30 to $40. We can produce a ton of solar glass in Brazil for $400 a ton, and it sells in Brazil between $700 and $800, just like everywhere else on the planet. So We have a built-in margin based on our competitive advantage in Brazil, and the Chinese cannot compete with that built-in margin.
Yeah, a lot can go wrong between shipping it from China to Brazil or China to the US.
Yeah. Yes, you have to be very gentle with solar glass, and it's really, really thin, right? You're talking, you know, 2 millimeters to 3 millimeters. If you blow on it really hard, you'll crack it. So from that perspective, it's extremely, you have to pack it really, really well in order to move it to market.
Got it. Steve, what do you got? He's frozen here. I'll edit this out. He's frozen. Okay. So tell me about the share structure here. Couple questions. Not only share structure, tell me about the cash. It's really important. I'm doing a startup, talking to Junior. How much money do you have in the bank? And what are you looking to use it for?
What we've done, Andy, over the last 2 years, this business model started 2 years ago. So we've done a lot in 2 years. We've directly raised $4 million. Our first funding was at 10 cents Canadian. Our next funding was at 50 cents Canadian. And our last funding was at $1.30 Canadian.
Fantastic. Through that,
yeah, we've done real well. We've gotten warrants exercised in that process, obviously, because we've had lift in the share price. That's added about another 2 million. So all in, 4 million direct through financing, 2 million through the exercise of warrants. And we have 60 million shares outstanding. Insiders control 20 to 25% of that directly. We have a high net worth network that we brought into the transaction as supportive investors. They hold pretty tight. So I would argue that the true float is probably around 20 to 25%, but 20 to 25% of the total shares issued are held by Inside.
Yeah, got it. Okay. So if people want to find you, how do they do that? What exchanges are you traded on, and what are your ticker symbols?
We trade in Canada on the TSX Venture, the symbol's Home Run, and we trade in the US on the OTC QBQX. We trade over in Frankfurt, and we're working on a more senior listing. That's one of the reasons why I'm over in Europe. But our primary listing is in Canada, which is HMR on the TSX Venture.
Got it. Anything else that you would like to add, or any news that's breaking in the next, that you can talk about in the next 60 days, 60 to 90 days, or what would the final thought you'd like to tell investors?
Yeah, we're pretty prolific on news because we have a lot of milestones being delivered over the next little while. Put that into context today. We just announced a 100,000 ton a year offtake agreement with one of the largest solar module manufacturers in Brazil.
Congratulations.
Thank you. That's the third offtake agreement. We'll produce about 365,000 tons of solar glass a year in the plant once it's built. So to get these offtake agreements in place prior to doing the feasibility study makes that feasibility study demonstrably more reliable as a document and makes funding that much more easy. Over the next little while, we're working to build out our presence across the entirety of the vertical. So you're going to see announcements relative to putting in place marketing, distribution, and sales, and bolting that on with a revenue-based company already, adding a layer of technology over top of that. And then also we have just acquired a company called Halicel, which is one of the top perovskite. Perovskite's the new technology for solar, but they're one of the top companies in the world in the research and development of perovskite. So adding a lot to that as well. So the closing of that transaction is coming shortly. We'll announce a lot of the technology that we're adding to the vertically integrated company. And we just announced our MRE, our maiden resource estimate on the silica resource down in Brazil. So firing at all cylinders.
Brian Leaners, Home Run. Thank you so much for your time, and hope to have you on again soon.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate your time.
You bet.